On May 10th, 1933, a German university student in Berlin were burned about 25,000 books in a big ceremonial book burning. And their reason for burning books were that the books were just un-German. And so they had to be taken away, gotten rid of, burned. Thomas Jefferson, after his presidency was over, secretly edited his own Bible and actually cut parts out of a Bible that he didn't like. Part of those things that he cut out were the resurrection of Christ and a lot of the miracles of Christ. And he cut them out, it's believed, because they didn't match Enlightenment reason. In the 2nd century A.D., a heretic named Marcion also made his own Bible, but he got rid of a lot of it. He got rid of the whole Old Testament. He only kept the Gospel of Luke, which he also edited out large portions, and he kept about 10 of Paul's letters. Why? Because he didn't like the God of the Old Testament. He didn't match the God he saw in the New Testament. Today in Jeremiah 36, we have similar things happening. About the year 605 BC, the king of Judah, as he's hearing the book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah being read to him, he cuts parts of it off as it's read and he throws it into the fire. Why? Because he didn't like the message. He didn't like the judgments that Jeremiah was directing not only against him, but against his people and against his kingdom. He didn't want to hear the word of God. It offended him. He didn't want to hear about how far he had turned away from the Lord. He didn't want to hear about that. He didn't want to hear about how they shouldn't have these idols made from gold and be worshiping them. He didn't want to hear about how he was even wrongly worshiping the Lord God Almighty. He didn't want to hear about abuses against the poor, against the marginalized. He didn't want to hear about how his kingdom, which was doing well, was committing injustice in immorality. He didn't want to hear it. And so, as it was read to him, he cut it up and he burned it in the fire pot that was keeping him warm. Scripture can be a hard pill to swallow. We've been taking vitamins in our house ever since COVID has hit, trying to keep all the sickness at bay. One of us in our family has a difficult time swallowing pills. This person's pill tends to be a little bit bigger than everybody else's, and it's got this weird, funky green color to it. And this particular person finds this to be a hard pill to swallow, even though it is good and does a lot for this person. I will not mention names. It's a hard pill to swallow. God's word is good for us. We need it. But there are times when it is a hard pill to swallow. It's a hard pill to swallow because it doesn't lift up human achievement, human endeavor. It doesn't lift up our righteous deeds or our own goodness. Instead, it shows us just how unrighteous we really are. When we do try to lift up ourselves, it shows us a story like the Tower of Babel, in which human endeavor is trying to reach to the heavens, and God breaks it down. God's word is a hard pill to swallow because it doesn't preach to us, be dependent on yourself. Instead, it tells us that God's grace is sufficient for you, that God's grace is sufficient in your weakness. He even tells us that God might put weakness and suffering upon you. God's pill can be a hard, God's word can be a hard pill to swallow, because it doesn't talk about how powerful you are, but instead shows us a God stripped of power and nailed to the cross. And then it has the audacity to tell you to take up your cross and follow him. That's not power. God's word is a hard pill to swallow, because there's a lot in there that we don't like. There's a lot in there that offends us. It doesn't tell you how strong or how capable you are or even how beautiful you are without first telling you that you're sinful, that you're weak, that you're incapable, and that you're just, because of sin, ugly. But God's word, in these hard words, has a purpose. Just as God's word to all the people of Judah and Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is a book full of doom and gloom, in its 30-some chapters, there's really only three that are positive. Some of that was from what Mark read this morning. It is full of doom and gloom, but here in Isaiah or Jeremiah 36, we see that God has a purpose for it. It's so that his people would turn from their ways and turn back to him. God is jealous for the hearts of his people. He wants them to turn to them. God's word shows us who we are and what we deserve so that we would turn to God. God wants people to turn to him, to give up their sins, give up their idols, because God wants to be merciful to you. He wants to shower his grace upon his people. He wants to just rain down his mercy upon those who know they need it. He wants you to be fully his. And so he gives us his word. We might want to cut some of it out, pretend that some of it isn't there, but it's there for us. He desires this so much that, as we read in Jeremiah 31, that God promises he's going to make a new covenant with us, a new promise, a new agreement, one that is going to be written in the blood of his Son, written in God's own blood, a covenant that will be founded first on the forgiveness of sin, to restore and to renew people, a promise that God would write his word directly upon the hearts of those who trust upon him, a covenant so that we could know the Lord God intimately, that we could know him fully, and to be fully his people, so that he could be our God. A covenant that Jesus promises on the night in which he was betrayed, as he makes this covenant, a new covenant in his blood for his people. Don't shy away from the word of God. It is full of promise, full of wonder, full of beauty, full of good news for us, and it's also full of hard words to swallow sometimes, but it is all for you, that you and I might turn to the Lord and know his mercy, know his grace, and know his forgiveness. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, we thank you for your word. Open it up to us. Help us to see it. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, hearts to receive. Show us, O Lord, our sin, where we have strayed from you, where we have rebelled and fallen away. Show us our sin, but remind us also of your mercy and grace, of your forgiveness, and draw us back to you. Help us to have hearts of repentance, hearts that belong to you. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.